Most High, Omnipotent Good Lord, to Thee be ceaseless praise outpoured. From Thee alone all creatures came. No one is worthy Thee to name. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please do be seated, my friends. That little poem is the beginning of the English translation of the Canticle of the Sun, which was composed by Francis of Assisi as a hymn of praise to God for the blessing and the beauty of creation. So today we're celebrating the Feast of St. Francis, which is fortunate for me because the regular lections of today are not so pleasant. So the lections for St. Francis Day are much nicer. I think the gift of St. Francis is that Francis teaches us, if we pay attention, that ordinary people can live really holy and extraordinary lives. Francis was named by his mother after John the Baptist. His real name was Giovanni Bernardone, and he was born in the year 1182, raised in Umbria in Assisi. He was nicknamed Francesco, which is the Italian way of saying Frenchie, probably because they think his mother was French. Francis's father was a wealthy cloth merchant. And as a young man, Francis enjoyed the life of a rich guy. He partied all the time. He had beautiful clothing. He enjoyed the finer things of life. And then he was drafted and served in the army when Assisi was at war with Perugia. And Francis was captured. He was a prisoner of war and held for a time away from home. He was finally released because he fell really sick. And during his recuperation, he had a spiritual enlightenment. And he stopped his partying and began praying. So one day, on his knees in the chapel of St. Damian, San Damiano in Assisi, Francis had a vision. There was a large cross over the altar, and there was a painting of Jesus crucified on the cross. And Francis heard Jesus ask him to repair the church. The voice said, "Francis, rebuild my church, for it is falling into ruin." Francis took the words literally, and he took some fabric from his father, without permission. Don't do this at home. And he sold the cloth in order to renovate the chapel. His father was so angry that he threatened to disown him because Francis had used private money to redo a church building. And they argued. Francis finally renounced his inheritance. He said, "That's all right. I don't need anything that you gave me." He literally took off his clothing in the town square and walked away from his father. Now, the story is the bishop was there, and the bishop took his cloak and clothed Francis, but the upshot of it is they had a terrible argument, and Francis renounced his wealthy life. He began a life of itinerant preaching among the poor in Umbria, and other men joined him. And they all began to work together, taking care of the poor and begging for their upkeep because they had no income. So they were mendicants. They begged for their living. And the interesting thing is they were taking care of people that the church preferred to ignore. And yet, people came and joined them. They called themselves the Lesser Brothers. Later, they were called the Order of Friars Minor. We call them the Franciscans. And they're recognizable because the friars wore the clothing of poor people, brown tunics, brown so you didn't have to wash it. Francis teaches us that we should not judge people by their outward appearance or their worth, but look inside to see what God sees. I think in our higher moments, we'd like to see that, but day by day, that might be a growing edge. Francis was committed to being a peacemaker. So during the middle of the Christian Crusades, you know, the wars where Europeans went to the Holy Land to try to take it back from the Saracens, the Muslims, they were fierce and bloody wars. And Francis decided that he was going to go and speak to the Sultan in Egypt. His friends thought he was crazy. But he went and was escorted peaceably. And the two men had a wonderful conversation about their religions. Because, you know, the Muslims believe in Jesus. They think he was a holy man, but they surely don't believe he's the Son of God. So they had a conversation about their differences. And Francis came back satisfied that they had had a good conversation. I think he teaches us that it's possible to have a civil conversation in the middle of disagreement. I wonder what it would look like if we were to take that to heart, how it would transform our many political processes and social disagreements of our time, if we were committed to listening to what the other people had to say. And then, of course, we bless animals on the Feast of St. Francis. Francis is the patron saint of animals. He's also the patron saint of the environment. And he called them both together the mirror of God, saying that we can see God in the creatures and the world around us. That's what the Canticle of the Sun is all about, actually. So Francis called the animals his brothers and sisters, and he talked to the animals about Jesus. There is a story that Francis was preaching to a flock of birds, and the birds stopped singing as he told them gospel stories. And then there's the wonderful story of the Wolf of Gubbio, who was raiding hen houses around Gubbio and stealing food because he was hungry. And the people wanted to destroy the wolf. I mean, understandably, he was taking away their livelihood, eating their critters. And Francis intervened, going to speak to the wolf, asking him to stop raiding the larders of the people in Gubbio, and then persuading the people in Gubbio to feed the wolf. And henceforth, they dwelt in peace together. The wolf behaved himself, and the people were generous. Isn't that interesting? Even if it's a myth, it's a good one. So Francis organized the first creche ever. You know the creche, the Christmas tableau with animals and baby Jesus? St. Francis was the one who initiated that, and he used live animals, not statues, and regular people, and it was always easy to find a baby. He thought it was a wonderful way for regular people to devote themselves to the birth of God in the world. And he seems to have been right because we've been doing it for like 800 years. St. Francis teaches us that animals can be an important part of our spiritual life because they're part of God's divine creation. Now, that's kind of obvious if you live in a farming community because people in farms rely on their animals every day. But even in modern cities, think about it. Our animals keep us company, and they teach us something about love. Dogs give us unconditional love. If you have a dog, there's no one like your dog greeting you at the end of the day, right? The dog's in love with you. Thank God you're home. I've missed you so much. And our cats, they give us the opportunity to give unconditional love because, you know, you walk in the door and the cat's like, who are you? Where's my dinner? So there's a difference in the spirituality of cats and dogs. Years ago, there was a theologian named Matthew Fox who said that his dog was his spiritual director because he made him closer to God. I think that makes sense. I mean, if you have any dog friends, it makes sense to you. I'm pretty sure that St. Francis would agree that we could learn something from our animals about our own identity. Because, you know, our animals know who they are. And they're very comfortable in their own identity. Cats are very happy with their cattiness. Dogs are very happy with their dogginess. And all the other critters, you know, the fish, the lizards. Once I blessed a snake, which was not my personal favorite critter, but he was clearly very, very happy in his home. All of the animals live into their identity. And so even if we don't like what they do, they're doing it because that's what they were created to be. Critters really don't sin. That's a human thing. Critters don't sin because they follow their instinct. Although I did have a deacon disagree with me once because her dog had eaten her couch that last weekend. But I think it was instinct. I'm sticking by my story. I think Francis would teach us that our hearts as human beings were made to be filled with joy and blessing. God wants us all to live into who we were created to be. God wants us to be part of the love of God's life and to share it with other people. That is our deepest identity. So the rules of religion may be our guide, but really our identity is part of God's beloved creation. We are God's beloved people. So I think that we would all say that our lives are a whole lot more than just a bunch of good dog, bad dog moments. Our lives are really founded and are at their best in a time of love. So God does not necessarily depend on our good behavior. God loves us anyway. If we could manage to be as faithful to our identities as our critters are, I think the world would be a much better place. And that, my friends, would be something to really celebrate. Most high, omnipotent good Lord, to thee be ceaseless praise outpoured. Let all creatures give thanks to thee and serve in great humility. Let the church say amen.